Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in. To the last message of our series, our Advent series, Christmas at the Movies. Look at our last movie, It's a Wonderful Life. If you've never seen that movie, well, then you don't turn on the TV, because it's 24 hours a day, starting about Thanksgiving until years. Old parents, if you and we'll say in our message, you believe in angels and think of this divine intervention of angels in your life, and what did that look like, and where did that happen, and what was okay, I mean, it's about the divine intervention of an angel named Clarence trying to earn his wings and the power, love, and support of not only his earthly family, but all his kingdom family, his entire community. And so, if you never see today's his entire life giving of himself to the people at Bedford Falls. He's always longed to travel, but never had the opportunity to prevent the rich skinflint, Mr. Potter, from taking over the entire town, because this guy was just like the Scrooge. All that prevents him from doing so is George's modest building and loan company, which is founded by his generous father. But on Christmas Eve, George's Uncle Billy, loses the business's $8,000 while he's intending to deposit it in the bank. And Potter, this evil Scrooge-like guy, Potter, finds the misplaced money and he hides it from Billy. And when the bank examiner discovers the shortage later that night, George realizes that he will be held responsible and sent to jail, and the company will collapse, finally allowing this Scrooge named Potter to take over the entire town. Thinking of his wife and their children and the others he loves, he thinks they'd all be better off if he was no longer with us. And he contemplates taking his own life. But the prayers of his loved ones, and I think that's huge to hear that, the prayers of his loved ones results in a gentle angel named Clarence coming to earth to help George with the promise of earning his wings. He shows George what things would have been like if he had never been born. So a lot of parallels to the Christmas story. So that kind of sets the stage for us. In this opening scene, friends of George Bailey are praying for him. And again, I can't stress that enough how important the power of prayer is. Then the angels, seen as stars in the sky, they decide to help, right? And they send Clarence, a new guardian angel, who is yet to get his wings. So let's check out. So thank God George has got somebody praying for him. But the question, do angels really exist? I mean, that's a fair question. And there's over 60 scriptures that reference angels, and we're not going to look at all of them today, but we are going to look at a few of them. But I would argue that angels are real, and scriptures tell us so. So our first scripture I'm going to look at is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Aren't all the angels ministering spirits who sent to serve those who are going to inherit salvation? And so I think it's really important to hear what that's saying, that those who turn their will and life over to a Jesus-looking God and commit to living a Jesus-centered life, that there's ministering spirits that are sent to help serve you along your way. And what does that look like? Well, I think it looks like a lot of different things. And Psalm 91:11 tells us, "For he will commend his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." So like Clarence, angels intervene on our behalf. But do you believe in angels, and have you recognized the angels that have come along your way? If you've lived long enough, you've lived this kingdom life long enough, I'm sure that you can look back on your life and experience and point to certain people that were angels in your life. And for some of you, they were just people that stepped into your life, may have been a complete stranger. You saw them, they said something, they gave you something, the next minute they're gone, you don't even know who their name is or where they went. They were just there. But you know it was real. You know you met them. And remember what this is what Billy Graham says. May we not forget what Billy says. Believers, look up. Take courage. The angels are nearer than you think. I believe that's a true statement. You know, in order to really experience God, you know, we have to come to the end of ourselves. It's a requirement. We really have to come to the end of ourselves. And we have to honestly, and I think that's the key word, honestly seek God. And the best news ever, I think, about this Jesus-looking God that we worship is that he doesn't make too hard a turns for those who honestly seek him. So if you know, the Bible would say, knock and the door shall open, seek and you shall find. And that's what we're encouraged to do, is to be seekers. So in this next scene, we see George at the end of his rope. And he's desperate. And he admits that he's not a praying man. He admits it. Still he asks if there is a God to show him the way. And so he's asking honestly. So it isn't about the length of prayer, what words he said, but it's the condition of his heart. He's honestly seeking God. It's not some plea bargain prayer. God, get me out of this, and I'll never do it again. And if you're like me, when I use that prayer, you have to add this to it. And this time, I really mean it, because I use that prayer so many times, it was worthless. But I really said an honest prayer when I was in a desperate time of my life. God changed my life. He intervened in my life. My life's never been the same. And this is 35 years later. So I truly believe in the honest submission and surrender of our lives over to God. So we're going to see this with George in this next thing. We see his desperation, and we see he's desperate, but he's honest. And he's got doubts, which I think is fair. He's got questions, and he doesn't feel like he's worthy of God. He's spiritually disqualified, obviously. You can see that in his demeanor. So he's a broken man. But even in all that desperation, whatever his idea of God is, it's coming out at this point of desperation, but he's honest. And I think that's important. And I think there's a lesson with that as kingdom people that we see, whether we come to God as a child or a young adult or later in life, it's real easy that once we've established this relationship, that we quit seeking, that we quit really trying to grow in our faith, that we really quit trying to deepen our relationship with God. And so here's a great quote that I think is important. Just because you have found God doesn't mean you should quit seeking him. End quote. So a question that I challenge you to is, how honestly do you seek God? And I'm not talking about just coming to work church on Sundays and hearing a message and singing songs. I'm talking about on your own when nobody else is around, when it's just you and God. How honestly are you seeking a relationship? And this approach is a really clear assessment of where you are spiritually. So what you're doing when nobody else is looking, a real indication of where you're at spiritually. And I don't think it's something you need to be ashamed of. I just think you need to be honest with yourself. Am I honestly seeking God, or do I honestly just seeking God's blessing, but I'm still living for my own self-interest? This is what's happened so much. I still live for myself. I want God's blessing. I want God's, you know, eternal blessing. I want to live eternal life. I don't, you know, all that. I don't want to be separated from God forever, but I still am living for my own self-interest and just asking God to be a pinch hitter, to come off the bench when I'm in a jam or whatever. And so it's really important, I think, to not get caught in that. And we get some scripture to back that up, and this is Hebrews 11, chapter 6. It's impossible to please God without faith, because the one who draws near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards people who try to find him. And so that's honest submission. So we see that play out in George's life. He's honestly seeking God, and we see God answer that prayer. So are we honestly seeking? And if we are, there's rewards. That's not our motivation, but there is rewards. The rewards of God's grace in our life is mercy, but also there's just rewards that we can't put our hands around. But the truth is, we must remain seekers, each and every one of us. We've got to be seekers. I don't know if you've ever really had a second chance at life. And if you did, or if you do, then your heart should be bursting with gratitude. You should be really grateful about your life if you've had a second chance. I've had a second chance at life. I probably have more than that. But it's that, you know, but if I truly have, if God has graced me with an opportunity to come all the way in, sit all the way down, and stay in this kingdom family, in this kingdom way of life, then I should be grateful for that, because the alternative is bleak, you know, at best. And so this next scene, it's a classic scene. George Bailey is given a second chance at life. and he runs through the streets rejoicing and yelling, Merry Christmas! Then returning home, he finds that despite the problems he faces, he is truly glad to be alive with his family. So let's check out this scene. Oh, everybody getting sensitive. But despite your present circumstances, is the Christmas spirit of that of George Bailey's alive in your life? Are you grateful for your family? Seriously, are you grateful for the life that you have, despite your present circumstances, including your kingdom family? If not, then I would encourage you to take inventory of your life and ask yourself why you are experiencing the lack of Christmas spirit. Because life gets in the way, and we get so engaged in our own self-interest. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 reminds us, give thanks in every situation because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That we should have the Christmas spirit year-round. We should be grateful. And if we're not, you know, if the gratitude isn't oozing out of our pores for the life that we get to live, then there's something wrong with us spiritually. We need to stop and make an honest look at that, seriously. Am I just dwelling on my circumstances, whether it's physical health, financial health, you know, something going on with the family, people aren't acting right, the job's, you know, up in the air, personalities are ahead of principles, whatever might be going on in your life, you know, you need to take a look at it and own it and get it right because it shouldn't be that way. There's nothing stronger than family, especially in relationship with your kingdom family. And not everyone's blessed to have a healthy and vibrant earthly family. I get that. Some of us come from some pretty broken places. But we're without excuse, if we're living in the kingdom, to not experience a healthy, vibrant family with our own kingdom community. That's on us. We have to own that truth. In this next scene that we're going to watch, we're going to witness George Bailey being stuck with the dilemma of raising $8,000 or going to jail. That's his dilemma. He discovers that his friends in his community have come to his rescue, donating their money, their time, and their energy. George begins to see the true value in his own life and realizes truly just how rich he is, even though he has some really challenging circumstances at his doorstep. So let's check it out. You know, I've only been here about a year and a half, but in that short time, I've witnessed the amazing power of our team and community with your generosity, your time, and your talent. It's been pretty impressive. But if you're listening online or you're here this morning and you feel like you're an outsider looking in when it comes to this kingdom community, I'm going to push back and say it's on you. And you need to ask yourself some real inventory questions. And here's some of those questions. Are you committed to being at church every Sunday? Unless you're traveling or you know, have an emergency. Are you really committed to this kingdom family? Of being accountable, being present. And even while you're traveling or you're away because of work or whatever, you still have the opportunity with live stream to go back on demand and watch the services or listen to the messages in a variety of ways to stay connected. You can watch the entire service on Faith Life TV. See, we're without an excuse to stay connected with our family. Do you embrace the 2020 rule? What is that? It's an unwritten rule. It's something that I try to live by in my life, but that is that you show up 20 minutes early and you stay 20 minutes late for service. So you have time to fellowship and have coffee and hang out and really ask important questions like what's going on with you and having time to hear what's going on in people's lives. Or are you just one of those people that show up right in time for church to start and boom, as soon as it's over with, you're gone. And that's your church experience. And it is for a lot of people. I encourage you to make a commitment to change that. It'll make a difference in your whole experience inside this community. Are you committed to any of the ministries inside our kingdom family? The men's group or the women's group or our online Zoom group, the elephants, or et cetera, and possibly, you know, Sunday school, you know, despite COVID, getting ready to maybe try to come back in 2022. I mean, are you committed to these ministries where people are giving up their time to come together and love each other and support each other and have accountability and pray with each other? Are you doing those things? And if you're not, then I just challenge you, why not? What's going on in your life that you can't be a part of these things? And then lastly, are you committed to serving any of the outreach ministries? And we have many of them. We have the Peace Pantry, obviously, and Chicken and Dumplings, and Christmas Ministries, and the Angel Tree Program that we were a part of, the VBS Ministry that'll be here back in the summer, and the Quilt Ministry, and the Praise and Worship Team. There's lots of ways to serve in the outreach of everything we're doing in our ministries. And the question is, am I doing any of that? And if I'm not, then why not? That's what I want to push back on. If you don't feel connected to your kingdom family, it's because you're treating your relationship with your kingdom family like a noun instead of a verb. You know, you have to participate in your own faith journey. You have to be a verb. You can't live the kingdom life. You can't live a Jesus-centered life as a noun. You got to become a verb. So whatever's in your way of doing that, if there is anything in your way, you know, then I encourage you to pray for God to remove it. You get out of any relationship what you put into it. That's what you get out of it. You must participate in your family if you want to truly feel connected here. And in Scripture after Scripture tells us this. This is 1 Corinthians 12:25-27. So that there won't be any division in the body, and so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets the glory, all parts celebrate with it. And if you're not here, it makes a difference. I don't care what your reason is. If you're not here, then there's something missing because you bring something here that nobody else can reproduce. Just your presence illuminates the body of Christ. And when you're not here, we feel that effect. So as we close out 2021 and get ready to start 2022, I hope you take ownership for your spiritual health because you're responsible for your spiritual well-being. And get committed like never before to your kingdom family and to living a Jesus-centered life. It'll make a huge difference in how your life turns out, but it'll also be the best way you can live. If you want our church family to grow and thrive, then we all have to take that seriously. We have to be fully committed. We have to come all the way in, sit all the way down, and be willing to stay here and be invitational to invite people along this journey. We all have to participate in that. You can only be defeated, and we can only be defeated, by rotten attitudes and extreme focus on our own self-interest. That's the only way we can lose out. And it's easy to do. In this last scene, which is a classic scene, George Bailey is overjoyed to be reunited with his loved ones, the ones he loves the most at Christmas time. And he realizes how truly rich he is, not with money, but true friends and a wonderful family. So let's check it out. Hey! Attaboy Clarence, right? So question, have you heard the bells in heaven ring during your faith journey? And we hear that song a lot, the bells of Christmas. Have you heard angels' wings? Have angels got their wings as a result of helping you live a Jesus-centered life? I'm sure they probably have. Some pretty amazing people. But friends, Scripture is clear that angels intervene in our lives, and especially the lives of believers. And they celebrate when we celebrate, and they suffer when we suffer. But they're there to be our service. They're there to guard over us. They're here to help lead us along with the Holy Spirit. And there's many scriptures that tell us this. This is Hebrews 12:22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly of Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. There's language like this all through Scripture that tell us that there's multitudes of angels celebrating and praising God. And this is Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels. Listen. And then He will reward each person according to what they've done. Again, this is the heavenly reward for our commitment to living a Jesus-centered life. And this last one's really important. And this is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. Friends, angels are real. They're all around us. And I encourage you to embrace that truth and not lose sight of it. It's imperative to show radical hospitality to all strangers. Your kingdom rewards are directly connected to your commitment to living a Jesus-centered life. I can promise you we're going to get to heaven and we're going to bump into some of these angels. We're going to like, dude, I didn't know. I had no idea. I'm sorry. I dissed you. I turned a blind eye. I turned a deaf ear to your needs when you were right there in front of me. It's going to happen to all of us. It's just part of the journey. But it didn't have to, and Scripture reminds us that we need to be out of our way to show hospitality with our smile, with love, with service to the people we meet and greet all the time, especially strangers, because you just might be hosting an angel. Think about that. How many people you've met in your life, and they walk away, you had that experience, they almost had like a twinkle in their eye, like, what was that about? You know, And there's lots of those. God gives us the Holy Spirit and the cast of angels to help guard and guide us. And if, and I think it's important to know, if we're committed to living a Jesus-centered life, you know, we're gonna experience that guardianship in that direction. If you're here this morning, or you're listening online, or you're listening to this message after the fact and feeling spiritually disconnected and on the margins inside your kingdom family, then I ask you to join in the privacy of your own heart by repeating the prayer we're about to pray. And I would encourage you to ask God for the willingness to be committed to your kingdom in 2022 so that you can thrive spiritually in the new year. Because here we go. We're closing out 2021 and about to go. So this time I'm going to invite the band back up. And we're going to pray, and we're going to celebrate. And then we're going to come back, and I'm going to close this out with our kingdom carryout, and then a huge blessing that I'll close this out with today to close out our year together. Lord, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for the many angels that you've blessed us with in our lives that we were oblivious to. We didn't even know that they were who they were. They were just there. But somehow they blessed us. They touched our lives. They influenced us. They encouraged us. They inspired us. They motivated us. They held our hand. They hugged us when we needed it the most. And if we've lived long enough, Lord, many of us have experienced your heavenly host. And so maybe not lose sight moving forward, that the possibilities of angelic influence in our life is very real, and it's all around us. May we be aware of it. May we acknowledge it. May we encourage it. Lord, we thank you for 2021. It's been a challenging year for so many with COVID and polarization, systemic injustice, political divide, economy all over the place, job market all over the place, people struggling to get employees. It's just been a chaotic year. But we're going to bring 2021 to a close. And we just thank you for it. Despite our present circumstances, may the joy of Christmas shine in our hearts, in our attitudes, in how we treat each other, how we treat our families, our co-workers, our friends, but most importantly, our kingdom family right here. That we really go out of our way to care for one another, love each other, support each other, pray for each other. Lord, there may be some listening today or with us today that are just struggling as they close out their year, that they feel disconnected from this community, they feel disconnected from you, that maybe they even feel disqualified like George Bailey. And Lord, we just pray for each and every one of them. And if you fall into that class, then, or you just want to reaffirm your faith and recommit yourself to 2022, to live in a Jesus-centered life, then let's pray this together in the privacy of your heart. Dear Lord, you know I am fatally flawed. You know how broken I am. You know how self-centered I am. You know how astray I can go. And Lord, we just ask you to remove the barriers, the blockades, the junk that gets in our channel, that blocks us from you, that blocks us from each other, and causes us to focus on our own self-interest, and we lose sight of your interest. Lord, in 2022, remove those things that block me from being a maximum service to you and the people about me. And help me to accept the truth of angels and the Holy Spirit's influence in my life. Help me to have the honesty and the open-mindedness and the willingness to put on you, Jesus, and that you are in me and I am in you. Just pray for you to come live in my heart. And help me to get off this old train and get on a new one and be fully committed in the new year to living a Jesus-centered life so I can thrive and help those around me thrive in a way we never knew. We know it's possible because you tell us so, because Scripture tells us so, and we pray that we can live into that boldly in a way we never have before. And we pray all this in your Son's name. All God's people said, Amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hill-Tran United. Hill-Tran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hiltran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hiltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.